Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
And now a look at the U.S. military on trial for now convicted murderer Robert Bales, the staff sergeant who admitted to killing 16 Afghans, including women and children, in a horrific deliberate attack last March. It will be life without parole. That's a controversial decision for some of his Afghan victims. Meanwhile, Army psychiatrist Major Nidal Hassan may not avoid the death penalty as a military jury considers his sentence for the killing of 13 soldiers at Fort Hood in an attack in November of 2009. Hassan told the court he was willing to die as a martyr. His sentencing phase begins today at Fort Hood. Convicted of espionage, Private Bradley Manning was also sentenced last week, 35 years at Leavenworth Army Prison. But the leaker and self-styled whistleblower who changed our view of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan had one more bombshell for the world after his sentencing. He is a woman now, Chelsea. The defendant came out as a transgender, which certainly complicates his sentence of 35 years at an all-male prison. A spokeswoman for Fort Leavenworth said that the prison does not provide hormone therapy or sex reassignment surgery for gender identity disorder. And that's something Manning's lawyer, David Coombs, reacted to on the NBC Today show last week.
I'm hoping Fort Leavenworth would do the right thing and provide that. If Fort Leavenworth does not, then I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that they are forced to do so.
Joining us to explore the transgender experience in prison and generally is Alicia Williams. She's director of prisoner justice at the Sylvia Rivera Law Project. And the Sylvia Rivera Law Project is an advocacy group for transgender identity in all phases, not just prison, right?
Correct.
All right. So what is the right thing to do? Let's talk about Fort Leavenworth for a moment. Are they under obligation to provide this hormone therapy and other treatments for a transgender disorder? That's what the person referred to there at Fort Leavenworth.
According to the Leavenworth representative, they're saying that they are not required to, but actually according to both medical and legal precedent, they should be required to, ensuring that all people who are incarcerated have their Eighth Amendment rights protected. That's what several state and federal courts have decided. And state and federal courts are also making sure that prisons are providing necessary medical care for people who identify as transgender.
And as far as you're concerned, he's Chelsea Manning.
Correct.
She is Chelsea Manning.
Yes.
I mean, that's a policy we discussed and made here at The Takeaway. But I'm wondering if a diagnosis is required before we say that. Is that something that he, she can say and then we go along with that? How is that sort of determined?
Well, one of the things that we push at Sylvia Rivera Law Project is gender self-determination. You don't need a legal decision, a court order, to be identified with the appropriate pronouns or name that you choose for yourself.
The idea being that nobody fakes transgender. It's a it's a feeling that you have. It's an impulse that is unmistakable and within mm-hmm. you. And by even identifying yourself, that's a part of the whole experience.
Exactly. And there are several people in prison who are now receiving medical care and they did not identify as transgender before going inside. There are a lot of people who aren't really familiar with the terminology or don't know what's out there for them as far as medical care and things. And it's not something that they may identify with until they are in prison. And that doesn't mean that they should not be receiving the medical care that they need.
And we're down the road here a ways. I mean, there's Orange is the New Black. That's the television show which actually talks about this experience of being transgender in prison. There are cases of prisons dealing with this in prison, both in the civilian and military sector, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's not as though Chelsea Manning is something fundamentally new in American criminal justice.
Right. I think it's new to the public, to people who are not in the advocacy circle, who aren't already familiar with gender identity disorder. Sophia, Laverne Cox's character on Orange is the New Black, she's doing a great job of
– She was on the show.
Putting out some of those issues, yeah. I mean, Laverne as the actress portraying Sophia, but also as an advocate, she's doing a great job with the media opportunities
received. It's so interesting because we had that conversation here on the program and really thought we were way out on the edge of something. And then this happens. And, of course, you know, this is mainstream. This is right in the middle of what we're considering in the headlines and what the U.S. military is considering. What is the likelihood? Here's a selection from a 2006 documentary called Cruel and Unusual. Hmm. This is Anna Connelly, transgender woman, former prisoner at the Florida Department of Corrections, describing her conditions there, what is the likelihood that neglected Chelsea Manning may have this experience as well? Listen.
A sergeant had frisked me once, and then he decided he was going to do it again in front of everybody else. He got behind me and started feeling my breasts and squeezing my nipples with his fingers and rolling them around and grabbing my butt and squeezing it and patting it and just acting like a pervert. And there's nothing you could do but just stand there and take it. They told me that I was never going to leave the prison alive.
Alicia Williams, is that backlash that that woman is describing the result of the public's lack of understanding of what's going on here or the prison system's lack of understanding?
Both. It's very common because, I mean, as far as my clients right now, I have 35 people on my case list and several on my wait list and several that I hear from on a day-to-day basis, and they're all describing the same sort of physical and sexual harassment. I had a client recently write in and tell me that as soon as she entered the prison, she's in a male facility. As soon as she entered the prison, the officers were harassing her, saying, "You'll never be a woman. You're a man in a man's prison." And they pushed her on the ground and made her do push-ups until she collapsed.
How do you assess the relevance of this revelation, now Chelsea Manning, based on all the other facts of the case? Do you think it has something to do with why Private Bradley Manning, the leaker, became this person really in confrontation with the U.S. Army? Is it an experience that has any relevance to the circumstances of the trial, or is it just some other detail?
I think it's a totally separate detail. It seems that Chelsea was identifying as a woman or having some of those feelings well before any of these leaks or anything occurred. And whether or not the trial had happened, I still think that she probably would have eventually come out as transgender, as Chelsea Manning.
How worried are you about Chelsea at this point?
Very worried. Just in the context of prisons themselves, they are the primary source for state violence that trans people and low-income people face every day. And especially being in this hyper-masculine environment of the military, I fear for her safety even more.
Alicia Williams is Director of Prisoner Justice at the Sylvia Rivera Law Project, an advocacy group for transgender. Alicia Williams, thanks so much.
Thank you.